This is the segment each week we call On the Campaign Trail, where we examine a top issue or race in election 2014. Today, as a part of our ongoing special series of primary election candidate forums, we will be on the campaign trail in the 6th Congressional District. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 7th. Four Republicans are vying to replace longtime Congressman Tom Petri in Wisconsin's 6th District. We will hear from all four during this hour and give you a chance to question them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. But each candidate is with us separately for only about 10 minutes, so call in right away if you have a question for the candidates. Let me welcome our first candidate. Happy to have with us Tom Dean. An Oshkosh resident, a retired engine technology instructor at Moraine Park Technical College in Fond du Lac, a former technician at Mercury Marine, former district manager for Chrysler Corporation's zone office in Milwaukee. He is one of four Republicans running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Why are you running for Congress?
I thought that we need an alternative to the typical politicians that have been running, and I think we need somebody who has practical experience in business and in education and in industry.
Yeah, you are going up against three state lawmakers, and you say you're okay with that position. What advantage does that give you?
I've seen other people in other races that come out that have no political background, so I thought that There's nothing that requires you to have that political background. I think a lot of people are tired of the same old politics, and they're looking for somebody who has practical experience and a real connection to the people in the district.
Mm-hmm. But how are people supposed to know a lot about you if the other candidates aren't acknowledging you, or if you don't really raise money to get your message out?
Well, I've been attending all of the forums that I've been invited to, which has been everyone that I know of except for one, and I've been on the radio, as I am with you, mm-hmm. with other radio stations, and been talking and taking advantage of anything that I can get to get out there and get my message out without having a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. You have a business background. What would you do in Congress to help businesses grow and create jobs?
I think we got to look at some of the regulations that we have to streamline that and, you know, kind of cut back on different types of regulations. I mean, you still need regulations for practical purposes and that, but we need to streamline things a little more to help businesses grow, and especially manufacturing. This is one of the largest manufacturing districts that we have in the country as far as the 6th District, and I think if we help build our economy, it's just going to help this district more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of the current issues of the day that are out there. There is some talk by some Republican congressmen to impeach President Obama should he take any more executive action, especially if he would take executive action on the immigration issue while Congress is on recess. Do you support that or not?
I have been opposed to that because I think it's a distraction. I think it would hurt the party. I think to me, it looks like the Democratic Party and them are trying to do this to get more people to vote for them. I just do not see at this point, and if we went through that process, I don't see where it would really be an advantage to the country or the Republican Party or anybody. So I, at this time, do not support that.
Mm-hmm. But it was Republican representative who just brought that up a day or two ago. Why do you say that this is a plan by the Democrats?
Well, I've at least some of the things that I've seen and from reading and in the news and that, I think that they're trying to bring it up as more of a topic to try to get out some of the people to vote for the Democratic Party in the primary and in the November election.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about House Speaker Boehner wants to sue President Obama over taking executive action, bypassing Congress on some issues. Do you think that's a good idea?
Right. They're looking at that. I I'd have to look a little closer at the issue and get a little more information on that to really decide. I think a lot of this right now, we need to try to find a way to get everybody to work together to get things done, and try to find things that are going to be a less decisive and less intrusive into actual process that we have going with the government. Mm-hmm.
What's your approach to immigration? Do you back a pathway to citizenship, or do you think that's amnesty?
I don't think it depends. There's a difference between people who are illegally crossing the border and people who have been here, such in guest worker programs, that overextended their stay. If they overextended their stay and they were working and helping us in the fields and the farms, and the only thing that they have as far as a criminal background would be the fact that their visas have expired, I think we have to look at extending those visas, and then possibly in the future, if they've been good, productive citizens, give them a pathway.
Mm-hmm. What's your position on whether or not some of the undocumented, unaccompanied children that had been crossing the border should come to Wisconsin until their situation can be worked out?
I think we got to find a humane way of setting up a system to return them back to their home countries. I think if we end up just taking everybody who illegally crosses the border that's coming through here, I think we're setting a precedent, and I don't really feel that that's going to help anybody. I think it's going to increase the amount of problems that we have with people illegally trying to enter the country, but we got to do it humanely.
Yeah, what would that entail?
I think working with the countries that they came from and maybe setting up a way that we can get places in their home countries and getting assistance and helping them move back to their country in a safe, humane manner.
What's your position on the Affordable Care Act and the efforts that continue to try to repeal it?
I'm not a big supporter of the Affordable Care Act. The one thing I do believe very strongly in the 10th Amendment rights of states to make their individual decisions, and I see that the Affordable Care Act is being done on a federal level. I think it should be left more up to the states to decide what they should do as far as health care and not the federal government.
Mm-hmm. You're from Oshkosh, which happens to be where the lone Democrat in November's general election is from. How do you rate Mark Harris's job performance as Winnebago County Executive?
I just recently have met going out seeking nomination papers to actually get on the ballot is the first time I actually ran into him. And I disagree with a lot of his principles. He's a nice man, otherwise, to talk to. But I think he is a person who is looking for more government solutions instead of private solutions.
Mm-hmm. Your Republican opponents in the primary, Joe Lipum, Glenn Grothman, Dewey Strobel, all have public sector experience, all state representatives. How are you trying to convince people that you can get the job done in Washington without that firsthand experience in politics?
I think I have a connection with the people of the district, and I have a connection with the businesses of the district. I've worked directly with companies like Kohler, John Deere, Mercury Marine, and other companies around in Wisconsin where I've helped increase their increase jobs by training people to get into higher tech positions. And I know people all around this district. I think the fact that I have that type of connection and the business connection is something that the other candidates are lacking. So I bring something different to the table than the typical politics.
Mm-hmm. And what is the most important issue facing the 6th Congressional District?
I think the biggest issue facing the 6th District and the country is the economy. And I think what we need to do is try to grow our economy in order to get more jobs. I see layoffs happening in different areas, such as Oshkosh Truck, who's right in town. I know people personally who have been laid off and have lost jobs. I think we need to build our manufacturing base, which is going to help build the job base that we have for people in this district and our country to get more people back to work. And I think it's just going to benefit everybody.
Well, we ask every candidate a final question that's a little more personal, not policy related. And we learn that you like to fix things like watches and motorcycles, cars, and even pinball machines. So we want to know, what's your favorite pinball game?
I have a Evel Knievel pinball machine, which is a 1977. And I guess that would be the one I'd have to pick out right at this time.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom Dino is an Oshkosh resident, a retired engine technology instructor at Moraine Park Technical College in Fond du Lac. He is one of four Republicans running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. We will talk with another after this break. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are conducting a candidate forum for the 6th Congressional District in Wisconsin. The incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Tom Petri is not seeking re-election, and there are four Republicans vying for his seat. The winner will advance to the November election and face the Democratic candidate, the lone Democratic candidate on the ballot, Winnebago County Executive Mark Harris, and Libertarian candidate Gus Fahrendorf. Now let's welcome in our next Republican candidate. Joe Lipum is a Republican state senator from Sheboygan and is a candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Good morning.
Hi, Joy. Good morning, and good morning to all your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. Why are you running for Congress?
I'm running for Congress because our federal government is failing our nation at this time, and I love America. And I've got three young kids, Andrew, William, and Lucy, a 7, a 5, and a 3-year-old, and they deserve to have as great, if not a greater, of America to grow up in as I have. And I think that's a doubt right now. Our federal government, both the Republicans and the Democrats, the president, are really failing to address any of the issues that are confronting this nation. They're taking our nation down a direction which I think is disadvantages the opportunity for liberty and freedom in this country, and I want to go to Washington to fight to improve our federal government, to make it work again for we the people, and to restore the great things that America has been known for, so again my kids have that great country to grow up in the future.
Why is there such gridlock in Washington?
Well, there's gridlock because the individuals that are there are simply looking at their own best interests or their party's best interests instead of looking out for the best interests of the nation. I'm a solid conservative. I'm proud to be a Republican, but I'm going to Congress as an American, and I'm going to work to try to lead people to my conservative beliefs and my conservative positions. But we need to do that by being willing to listen and to be respectful of other people's ideas, and then see if we can find some commonality. I think most people, believe in this nation. Most people want this nation to succeed. We just have to be willing to kind of listen and work to lead people to the right answers. And that's what I hope to do out in Washington, D.C. I'd say another problem out in Washington is that individuals get out there, they're far too long, and they get, again, too focused on their own self-well-being instead of the well-being of the nation. That's why I actually support term limits. I would support a constitutional amendment that would say a 10 or 12 year time period for an individual to serve in the House or in the Senate, and then we'd get new people in there. And I've actually placed that on myself as well, that if elected to Congress, the longest that I'd serve in the House would be 12 years.
Would your opponents in the primary, Glenn Grothman, Dewey Strobel, or Tom Dino, cause further gridlock in Washington?
Well, I'm going there, again, not to be a combative conservative. I'm going there to be a solid conservative that's going to work to get things done. I don't want to be a part of failure, and our federal government is failing our nation right now. I think my opponents have said, that they don't care if we don't get anything done. They're going to, but that's not my goal. My goal is to get some things done and to move forward the issues for our nation.
Yeah. Well, give us your thoughts on President Obama considering signing some sort of executive action to deal with the immigration problem while Congress is on recess, and a recent comment by Iowa U.S. Representative Steve King, a Republican representative, who said if the president does that, the Republicans should consider impeaching the president.
Well, I think President Obama is coming close in a number of different issues where he is exceeding his executive authority and he is possibly violating his duties as President of the United States. And I think the immigration issue is just one example. Now, again, the President does have certain powers that are prescribed by our Constitution, but the congressional branch needs to step up here and it needs to say that, you know, Mr. President, we are an equal partner with you in this. We need to work together on these issues and we need to find some ways in which we can move these issues forward. But again, if a president, whether it be President Obama or any future president who's in office while I'm in Congress, they need to be held to their constitutional responsibilities. And if they violate those responsibilities, then it is the responsibility of the Congress to proceed with hearings and to, you know, question whether or not there is a violation there. And if found that there was, then it's the responsibility of the Congress to proceed with impeachment hearings. And again, I think that we're close to that. I, again, would urge the president when I get there that I would say, let's work together. Let's find some answers, some commonality as to how we can move these issues forward.
So what's your solution to the border crisis, the illegal immigration issue?
Well, it's a perfect example, again, where our system is broke because our government isn't working to address the real issue. We need to secure the border, and we need to stop the problem from continuing to grow and therefore cause additional problems here in our country and most specifically for those people who we are giving false hope to and misleading in regard to the opportunity that they're being allowed to acquire here in America. We have a legal system, and we need to require individuals to move through that legal system so that they can earn the work opportunity or the citizenship opportunity here in America. We've got a great country, and we want more people to come to our nation and to be a part of this great opportunity, but they need to work through the legal system. You start by enforcing the borders, and then you have a system that's modernized and efficient so that individuals can move through with the appropriate checks and due diligence background checks. But then they're allowed to become part of our workforce or of our citizenship.
What's the biggest problem facing the 6th Congressional District, and what would you do in Washington to fix it?
Well, it's not only facing the district, but America as a whole, and that's our fiscal and financial situation, our budgetary situation out in Washington, D.C. And it's unacceptable from my perspective and from most voters and citizens that I've been talking to across the district that we've got, you know, $17 trillion in debt. We really haven't had a budget out in Washington for the past number of budget cycles. We've got excessive spending, out-of-control deficits, taxation that's kind of hampering freedoms and free enterprise. We've got to get our budget situation under control. Our federal government is spending at an unsustainable level. That's why we've got the level of debt that we have. We need to, you know, have the will to be able to address that, just like we did here in Wisconsin. We had to make some tough decisions in Wisconsin, but we did that not because we didn't like certain people or didn't like certain programs. We just understood the fact that we were living beyond our means, and we had to tighten the belt, rein in that spending, prioritize the focus of our government. And now look what's happened in Wisconsin. We have surpluses so that we can give tax breaks to the citizens of this state. We can put more money into public education and public health programs. That's what happens when you're fiscally responsible. You can have a good managed budget and do the things that you want to do. That's what we have to do out in Washington, D.C. as well. That will be my top priority. Along with that, you work to grow our economy so that we've got people working and businesses creating opportunity and creating revenue, quite honestly, for our government. That's how we solve the budget mess out in Washington, and that has to be a top priority because, again, otherwise, Andrew, William, and Lucy and all those other future Americans aren't going to have the same standard of living that we've enjoyed. And, again, that's not something that I want to have on my shoulders. I want to have them have a better country to grow up in than we have.
One of your opponents, Glenn Grothman, criticized you for accepting $5,000 from a union that backs Democrats after you voted for Act 10. Why did you accept the money?
No, this is a trade union that supports individuals that are interested in improving and focusing on our transportation infrastructure here in Wisconsin and across America. And I do believe that that's one area of government responsibility is our infrastructure, highways and airports and those types of infrastructure needs. This group, again, supports that. They give money to individuals like Paul Ryan, Sean Duffy, to the Republican Governors Association. And we should actually, you know, kind of appreciate that. I'm working to try to get more people to be a part of the Republican Party and the conservative movement in this nation. And that's what's happening here. These people realize that they're looking for an individual that will, you know, be fiscally smart, but then focused on the priorities of our government. And again, infrastructure is something that is a responsibility of our government.
We have less than a minute. Why are you the better candidate of the four running?
Well, I think I'm the best candidate because of my background, my private sector experience. I spent a good number of years at the Sheboygan County Chamber of Commerce and at Sargento Foods. And then I'm proud of my legislative experience as well. I've gotten a lot of things done at the state capitol because I know how to listen to my constituents, and then I know how to work their issues and their concerns through the legislative process. I'll take all of that. I'll take my solid conservative principles out to Washington, D.C., and I will work hard to get things done for this nation. Again, I don't want to be a part of failure. I'm not simply going out there to be a combative conservative. I'm going there to be a strong conservative who's going to work to get things done for the betterment of our nation and for the future.
Our last personal final question, does it bother you when people botch your last name?
No, it doesn't. You know, it's a hard name to pronounce. It's Lipom. That's how my grandpa said it. It's a good German-Russian name. It represents a good, strong family and a good, strong person. And so I just encourage people to vote Joe Lipom on Tuesday, August 12th.
Joe Lipom.
You got it.
I got it, finally. Joe Lipom is one of four candidates running for the 6th Congressional District. We'll talk to two others after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. We heard from two of the four Republican candidates running in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District in our last half hour. We will hear from the other two in this half hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, August 7th. All four candidates are vying to replace longtime Republican U.S. Representative Tom Petri of Fond du Lac, who is not seeking re-election this year. The winner of the August 12th Republican primary will advance to the November election and face the Democratic candidate on the ballot, Winnebago County Executive Mark Harris, and Libertarian candidate Gus Fahrendorf. Our next Republican candidate running for U.S. Representative for Wisconsin's 6th District is Glenn Grothman. If you have a question for him, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Glenn Grothman is a Republican state senator from Campbellsport and a candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. I'm speaking live from the Alto Fair, so I'm in a good mood this morning. I can't wait for the question.
Hey, what's going on at the fair?
We've got breakfast. We've got a special tent here with iced coffee. We have pancakes. We have sausages. It's just tremendous. So any of your listeners in the Fond du Lac, Waupun area should come down to the Alto Fair, and later today we're going to have a parade.
Sounds good. Well, let's start with our first question for everybody. Why are you running for Congress?
Well, because there are huge problems in the country, and the debt is huge, where the value of the dollar is declining. But even more, the amount of people on welfare, adopting what I call the welfare culture, keeps going up. There are huge incentives that the federal government has not to work, to raise children out of wedlock, and we've got to change that or our country's going to be lost.
Yeah, you say the biggest problem facing the nation isn't health care or immigration or jobs, but welfare reform. And so why is that?
Well, those other things are big problems, too. Immigration is quickly becoming a big problem, and if we don't solve that, our country will be lost as well. But let me give you some statistics on what's going on welfare. The number of people on food stamps, just one of many programs, has gone up from 17 million people to 49 million people in the last 14 years. That should alarm Americans. Another statistic, if you are a single parent and you maybe are considering marrying the father or mother of your children, you could very easily lose over $35,000 in benefits, largely federal benefits, between the earned income tax credit and the food stamps and the low-income housing allowance. And the daycare and the medical care and, you know, easier to get grants to go to college, the HEAP bill assistance. It is ridiculous that we are penalizing people over $30,000, $35,000 a year to get married. Our country cannot continue to survive if we do this. And, of course, the people are responding to these huge incentives. We have more and more people on these programs, more and more people raising the children without a mother and father at home. I am really afraid that this will destroy the country. I have a long history of being very pro-business in Madison. I'll carry that on. We have to close the borders and do something about immigration immediately. The current policy is almost designed to destroy America. But the welfare is part of the immigration problem as well. You got to remember right now, I am being told in Mexico, they talk about the generous American welfare benefits. And just as the state of Wisconsin for many years was a welfare magnet for the central United States, the United States is now becoming a welfare magnet for the Western Hemisphere. This will destroy our great country.
Yeah, how are you going to get anything done about any of these problems with all the gridlock that's going on in Washington?
Well, when I talk to people about the overgenerosity, for example, of the welfare system, when I talk to people, there's a $35,000 penalty for getting married. Everybody's appalled. This has not been publicized. And I think as you publicize the problem, you create a situation in which the other congressmen and senators have to deal with the problem. And I expect something to get done that way. Maybe it won't be exactly what I want to do, but we have to change this system or America is sunk.
We just talked to one of your opponents, Joe Lipum, in our last half hour, who said that he's a conservative, but he is going to be reaching out and trying to do something to reach consensus to fix the problems. Do you consider compromise a dirty word?
Well, you've got to take what you can get. I mean, I will point out, since Governor Walker's been governor, he has signed 60 bills that I've authored. I think that's more than any other state senator up there. And the reason he has signed so many bills is like sometimes you get all that you want, sometimes you get half of what you want. I wouldn't have passed 60 bills unless sometimes I was getting not all of what I wanted. Getting could very easily happen in Washington as well. So I'm not afraid of compromising, provided we're moving the ball in the right direction.
Should President Obama be impeached?
That's not going to happen. I think a lot of Democrats are saying it's going to happen because right now the public is not there. He has about 2.5 years left in his current term. And unless the public demands it, that is not something that's going to happen. Speaker Boehner's made it clear it's not going to happen. Obviously, he's done some very wrong things. He's done things in which he deserves to be impeached for, but it is not going to happen. It's a silly thing to talk about.
What should happen if he signs an executive order on the immigration issue while Congress is on recess?
It's horrible, and Congress has to do all they can to prevent it. We have a rogue president who is not bound by the Constitution. I think it should perhaps be, to the degree possible, eventually ignored. It should perhaps be struck down by the courts because he is just exceeding its bounds. I don't think I can remember in my lifetime a president who has less respect for the Constitution. I don't know what you do if you have a lawless president. He would deserve to be removed from office, that's for sure. And we'll just have to see whether the public would be as outraged as they should be.
We have a caller from Fond du Lac who has a question for you, Jody. Hi, Jody. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I am a constituent in this district that's up for election, and I've seen the advertisement for Mr. Grossman and also his opponents, and I identify myself as a liberal, so I take offense to some of the television ads that I've seen. They portray themselves as fighting liberals and waging some sort of war on us, and I need to, I guess, say that and remind them that, you know, about half their constituents will be identifying with, you know, a political party that's the opposite of them. So I'm really curious as to how they will represent, and especially Mr. Grossman, represent the needs of all of his constituents and not just this conservative frenzy going on at the moment.
Well, I look out for everybody. I think that's the reason I've had such a successful career in the state Senate. I have worked with Democrats frequently in the past. I'll give you an anecdote. When Governor Doyle was governor, twice a year he would give a speech, a state of the state speech and a state budget address. And after those speeches, he'd invite everybody over to the executive mansion to get together. Many Republicans would not go. There were times in which I was one of only one or two Republicans who would go and meet with Governor Doyle. I have never been afraid to meet with Democrats, and I think if you look at my record in the state Senate, I again and again do look out for the most vulnerable members of society. Now, I do not believe that overly generous welfare benefits help the most vulnerable people because, A, it discourages them from working, and, B, it encourages them to raise children out of wedlock. So I don't consider that a benefit to them. But I do look out for the most vulnerable. Now, maybe other Democrats who are looking for something from the government, I would not be on their side if they're looking for, just more money. But I do think I look out for everybody, and to imply that I will not look out for certain segments of society is just not true, particularly vulnerable people.
Senator Grossman, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were going to primary Congressman Petrie before he announced
correct.
He would not seek re-election. Right. Because why? You thought he was too moderate?
Well, I felt that in the big problems that our country is facing, right now we're borrowing 20% of our federal budget. Congressman Petrie had a reputation, honestly, for spending more money than at least other Republicans in our congressional delegation, be it Congressman Ryan, Congressman Sensenbrenner, then Congressman Green, and whenever you look. So if you're going to say we can't borrow 20% of our budget forever, you've got to look at the Republicans and say, what are you doing? I think Congressman Petrie is in part responsible for us borrowing 20% of our budget. I mentioned the huge welfare problem. I think people turn to Republicans to solve that problem. Congressman Petrie was not doing that. That's why I challenged Congressman Petrie in a primary. Now, I eventually got three other opponents when Congressman Petrie dropped out, but I do not feel that did not feel that Congressman Petrie was doing a good job. If you want to call it moderate, you can call that a moderate. I don't know whether it's moderate. I think when you want to spend more than our already bloated federal budget, I think that's more than moderate. But in any event, that's why I challenged Congressman Petrie.
So why are you the best candidate for the job now?
I think there are three reasons. First of all, the reason we haven't solved these problems is too many politicians are afraid of controversy. I have a history of not being afraid of controversy in Madison that's unmatched, be it election law reform, be it tax reform, be it taking on the trial lawyers, being taking on the police union on duty disability, being taking on affirmative action, being taking on welfare reform, comprehensive welfare reform in Madison. I have proven the way the others have not, that I am not afraid of controversy. Secondly, I'm just not somebody who likes to send out press releases. I get a lot done, too. I mentioned before that since Governor Walker's been governor, he's signed 60 bills in which I was the Senate lead. Okay, my two opponents, well, they vote for almost all those bills, and I like them. Joe Lipan, since Governor Walker's been governor, has had Governor Walker sign 30 bills. Dewey Strobel has Governor Walker sign 6 bills. So I'm getting stuff done in addition to not being afraid of controversy. Going forward, I think when I talk about things like welfare reform, when I talk about things like regulatory reform, when I talk about things like getting rid of the Federal Department of Education, I think I deal with a passion and a knowledge that the others can't match. And if you are concerned about this welfare situation, if you don't want to have a situation in which the number of people on food stamps has gone up from 17 million to 49 million in the last 14 years, you should vote with me, because I will do what I can to change these programs so we don't have the huge anti-marriage incentives and the huge incentives not to work. That's why I would vote for me.
And our last personal question for you is, what do you like to do to have fun besides go to the fair?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, and I'm sure it's true of the other candidates, I guess this is kind of fun. I like to meet with people and talk about politics. I would love to think that things are warm enough in November, that after I win this, I can golf one time before the year is over. I like to play sheep's head, I would love to play sheepshed. Those are things that I like.
That sounds fun. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you much, Joy. It's always fun to listen to or to talk to the erudite listeners of public radio.
Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from Campbellsport. By the way, I've golfed at the golf course in Campbellsport. You can try that, Senator Grothman. Also a candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. We will talk with our fourth candidate running for Congress after this break. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are conducting another candidate forum all week long during this hour. We have been talking with candidates who are on the April 12th primary ballot. Today we are focused on the 6th Congressional District, where the incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Tom Petri is not seeking re-election, and four Republicans are vying to replace him. Our fourth candidate today, Dewey Strobel, a Republican state representative from Cedarburg and a candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. Good morning.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. Tell us why you're running for Congress.
Well, I am running for Congress because right now we are doing things in Washington, D.C. that are going to have a major impact on the future of our kids and grandkids. And unless we change the course of that, we're going to have an America on our hands that is virtually unrecognizable from the one that we inherited. And I come from the private sector. I've got 30 years running a business in the private sector, and the people I'm running against have almost 40 years in government together between the two of them. And I believe that we need more outsiders with a different way of thinking in our government right now. Our founding fathers intended for citizen legislators, people who come from the real world. They go to government, and then ultimately they come back to the real world. That's what our founding fathers intended for, and I really believe that that's how we're going to get a lot better results if we get more people who have that real world experience and can bring certain expertise to government and not just be the people who have been there for years and years and years, and they make their living being in politics.
You know, Senators Lipum and Grothman have been critical of you for a negative campaign towards them, calling them career politicians. Why is it such a bad thing? They were, you know, touting some of the good policies that they've put forth for Wisconsin.
Well, you know, that's all fine. But like I said, I do believe that we need people from the private sector that actually have experience in the real world. I mean, I've been in the working a business and running a business, and I've started a business. I meet a payroll. I balance a budget, and I understand how the laws and the tax policy impact us in the real world here because I've lived it. I've done it for 30 years, and I think that is a perspective that we need a lot more of in Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of perspective from people who have made their living in government and have been in government for years and years and years. But we need more of a perspective of people who actually have come from the real world and actually been there and done that and can actually talk about how these policies impact us and not just pontificate and theorize how these policies that get passed in Washington, D.C. impact us in the real world.
Yeah. Some could say that you're relatively inexperienced with how the political game is played. How do you get things done in Washington?
Well, you know, anybody who wins this, they're all going to be there for their first term. They're all going to be freshmen. And if you want to compare my first full term to the other two candidates, if we want to go there, well, I passed more bills than Glenn, and my percentage of success was 60% to his 30%. And Senator Lipum, in his first two terms, actually, he didn't pass a bill. So, but again, you know, I've been spending the last 30 years running a business. They've been spending the last, you know, couple decades or so being a politician. And I think that another thing that I focus on, too, is I put together a business plan. I mean, that's what I do as a small businessman. And in there, it's very transparent where I stand on the issues, and it's spelled out very clear for everyone to read. And I really think that that's what that's going to be my guidepost for my time when I'm in Washington, D.C. And that, being a businessman and doing a business plan, those are things that we need to do. You need to have a plan to be successful, not just reactionary. And you know, I'd encourage anyone to go to my website and check out that plan, and you can see in black and white where I stand on the issues. And I might add, too, I mean, you can look at someone like Ron Johnson, who I believe has been doing a fantastic job for the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, he had no experience in public. He was a citizen legislator elected to our United States Senate, and I believe he is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. Well, we don't have time for the full plan, but what's the biggest problem facing the nation, and what would you do about it?
Okay, well, I believe that our nation, it taxes too much, it spends too much, and it regulates too much. And those things combine to take freedoms and liberties from us in this country. And I believe that that is taking opportunity from us. Right now, we, of course, borrow 30 cents of every dollar we spend. We've got a $17 trillion debt. You know, we need to look long-term. And, you know, if I ran a business that way, looking short-term, just kicking the can down the road and just looking forward to the next election, I mean, I would have been out of business a long time ago. And that's not how we can run this country, and it's not fair. In fact, it's immoral to have a $17 trillion debt that we will be handing off to the next generation. That's wrong, and we need to do something about that. And ultimately, the debt service on that debt is just going to eat up our discretionary spending in this country, and we're going to have a lot of problems because of it.
Why do you support impeaching President Obama? What would that accomplish?
I never said that I supported impeaching President Obama. What I said was that the process works, that there's an independent counsel. It has always been the tradition in Congress that an independent counsel gathers information regarding whatever offense there might be. And that independent counsel has not been put together. But if and when that independent counsel would ever be put together, if they would come back with evidence that there was an impeachable offense, I think then Congress has to look at that and decide what they're going to do to act. But nobody's done that yet, so it certainly wouldn't be appropriate to talk about anything like that yet at this point in time.
Yeah. So why are you the best of all the candidates running in the 6th Congressional District?
Well, I believe I'm the best because I exhibit leadership, and that's what I've always done. And I believe that we do need more people from the private sector. The way I differentiate myself, of course, is these guys have been in government a long time. And I think we need, as our founding fathers intended, that private sector experience. That's what we are lacking. And that real world experience is what we need. And again, when I went to Madison, I looked around in the room, and pretty quick I could tell that there's a group of people over here, and they're in government because this is their job. This is their career. This is like going to the office. And then I looked on the other side, and I could see here's some people. They're here because they want to make a difference. They're here because they believe in their cause, and this is something that they're fighting for, and they're showing leadership. And it's not just a job to them. It's public service, and that's what I think that this job should be about, public service and not a career. I think that you have much better results when you're operating with people from that perspective and not someone who looks at this as a career and a job.
You coach youth football, basketball, and baseball. In just 10 seconds, which one do you coach the best?
I think probably basketball.
All right.
I enjoy basketball. It's a great team sport.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bye. Dooley Strobel, Republican State Representative from Cedarburg, running for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. This is the Ideas Network.